Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get arrested. Yeah. Working like I never knew I'm best. Yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Welcome back to That One Studio. It's your boy C-Rock on the What Are You Made Of show. We're back. And listen, guys, I have a friend and client of That One Agency here today. Coach Ali is in the building. And I'm excited. I've been looking forward to this one for a long time because, you know, I love the mission she's on. And I, you know, there's something that really, like, you know, I don't know. I just, like, it really appeals to me when people are confident, no matter what. And see, confidence, and I realize why I feel this way, because confidence turns the world towards you. And it actually turns hearts towards you. And people don't realize this. And I'm gonna harp on this message all over my social. But confidence, when it's lacking, lack of confidence will actually, this is a phenomenon. It actually turns the world against you. Hearts will shrivel up and go away from you when you lack confidence. And confidence is a decision. So one thing I noticed when I first met Ali, and you know this, I think I told you this before, but like on social media, I reach out to people in DMs and connect with them, network. And I have a system down for it to make sure I stay on top of it. And one thing I noticed about Ali from the beginning is her confidence. Now, she portrays this. I assume it's genuine and authentic, but sometimes we all have times where we're not. I get it. But she wants to help other people become the same. And I you know, I really value that. And so I was drawn to Ali, and I talked to her about, you know, what she's doing and learn her vision and her mission. And I just want to help her because she's impacting the world. She's impacting women. And she's, you know, her name is Ali Sempick, but she's known as Coach Ali. She's an internationally certified wellness coach and founder, CEO of her own women's empowerment company. After a decade, oh, by the way, it's called Ask Coach Ali. After a decade of disordered eating and failing to hate her body skinny, Ali craved more from her life than a smaller jean size. Today, she's changing the narrative of what healthy looks like by helping women transform their relationships with food and who they see in the mirror. Coach Ali, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Look, like, quite the intro.
Yeah, well, I want people to know, and for those watching or those listening, however you're consuming this content, I want you to know, like, when I bring guests on, what I think of them, because it you know, I don't bring just anybody on the show. Mm-hmm. And I bring people that can impact you. So, yeah, so welcome, and I'm looking forward to getting into this, what you're made of, and the ingredients that have gone into making you who you are so far, because you're just getting started, by the way. And I'm excited for the journey that's
telling me, and yet I feel like I've been doing this for decades, and I can't say that because I'm not that old yet, but I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm 47 years old and I'm still getting started. I still, like, you know, like the, you got the lawnmowers out there and you got the pool thing to get them started. Like, I'm always pulling that cord, man. Like, let's go. We got to get this thing started. When am I ever going to get there? You know, I'm always like that, but I think that's good because it keeps us moving forward. Yeah. Right.
Well, because there's never an actual ending. I think that's the one thing, and we can totally dig into this, but I think that's something I see a lot with my own clients is it's, oh, well, I'll be happy when, or I'll be successful when, right? But there's not an actual end game. It is truly the journey, it's the growth, the evolution. So you're always getting started.
It's, yeah, we have
on what
we have now, right now. What are you doing right now? And it's a decision, right? So let's get into this before I go down a rabbit hole. By the way, you guys can check out Ali at AskCoachAli.com. Ask Coach Ali on Instagram. Check her out. DM her. Let her know you heard her here. Ali, I have a question I start the show with the same every time, and that is with this question written on the wall behind me. What are you made of?
I looked at that as it's like the special ingredients that make you who you are. And the first things that came to mind were a whole hell of a lot of resilience, a lot of sarcasm, and just a heart to impact others.
Yeah.
Like, that's like my magic sauce, is being a real authentic human that, quite frankly, gives a shit. Right. So that's what I'm made of. That is what I think relates people to who I am and what I'm doing. Because it's not perfect. It's never easy. And I loved what you said earlier about, you know, stepping into confidence. I think confidence is a choice. It's knowing your worth, right? We think that confidence can be bought, borrowed, stolen, learned. I think it's truly about knowing your worthiness and who you are, not what you give or what you look like, but genuinely who you are, right? Yeah. How you show up in the world.
Yeah, I like that. So everybody's got a story, Allie. Where does your story start?
Oh God, how much time do we got?
30-ish minutes.
No,
long story short.
Yeah, long story short. No,
Yeah, never mind. Go ahead. I have a sound effect, but it's not on here, so I was gonna play it. Anyway, go ahead.
The Jeopardy theme song where it's telling me to get off stage. No, my story starts all the way back to when I was in middle school. It was really the first time I started to notice my body and who I was different than the other girls around me. I was a lot taller. I was curvier. I was developing faster. But even my personality, I was always told that I was a lot, that I was too loud. I was too much. And so I really almost developed this like identity crisis of how can I become smaller? And not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, you know, as a human, how can I be less than what I naturally want it to be? And that developed into high school, college, what I know now as eating disorders. At the time, no one saw it as that because I wasn't losing a ton of weight. I wasn't, you know, dramatically looking different, but my relationship with food and my body was so drastically impacted by the way that I thought society saw me, to the point where I was constantly picking myself apart. I couldn't look in mirrors. I was, you know, counting every single calorie. And I mean, a 16-year-old should not know what calorie content is in every single bite that they're having at lunch, right? But I did, to the point where when I went to college, I actually got a minor in nutrition because I thought if I just knew the information, if I could just figure it out, then I could fix myself. And it really turned into this whole decade of trying to hate myself into a smaller body, thinking that once I was smaller, I'd be happier, I'd be accepted, I'd be loved, and not realizing that what I really wanted was the acceptance, was the love, the confidence that I thought came with being in a smaller body. That's really where it started and kind of transitioned through. And now obviously I'm blessed to be doing the work to help women who are in that same exact position.
Yeah. You know, everybody that says something to you is really talking about themselves.
Absolutely.
This is really powerful for people to hear. When somebody says something to you, they're talking about themselves. Mm-hmm. And so those that tear people down, discourage people, oh, you're too much. They try to dim you, shrink you, whatever, just invalidate you. Mm-hmm. It's coming from them. It's about them, their vision of themselves. Now, on the flip side, those that encourage people, those that build people up, it's the same thing. They're talking about them, so they feel good about themselves, and it's reflecting upon the other people. So if you get to understand this, folks, you get to understand this, it's really powerful.
Absolutely.
And not just the size or too much or any of that. It's also your light, like the light that you're shining. So people try to dim your light. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens, you need to understand it should be a switch that a trigger or something that says, no. That's not what's happening here, pal. That's not what's happening here. Okay.
Back up.
Yeah. Because for me, it's a trigger like, oh, I need to go harder. Somebody mm-hmm. tells me that I'm out there too much. When I started my podcast, Allie, when I started going on social and growing, you wouldn't believe the people closest to me mm-hmm. would make comments, throw digs. And the reason that I got to where I am so far is because I push the pedal down harder when they do that.
Yeah.
Right. So as you went through this, mm-hmm. let's talk about the eating disorder. Mm-hmm. Like what did you get into? Like
I look at it, and granted, there's a lot of different ways that you can articulate what an eating disorder is. I had very disordered eating. And the hard part is in our society, disordered eating is normalized. it's seen as, oh, you're trying to be healthier, you're on a diet, or you're watching what you eat, so you're tracking your macros. But when you get to a place where you are so obsessed with every single number and calorie count and weight that you see, I see that as another form of an eating disorder. That's a mental disorder that you have when it comes to your body and food. So I was tracking every single thing I ate. I had a food scale that I brought with me to work when I was an intern in college. I definitely now see it as I had extreme body dysmorphia, where I did not see the body that I was actually in. I was working out twice a day, you know, and kind of to your point, I was having people say like, hey, maybe this isn't normal. Maybe slow down a bit. But it had been so long that I had been in that headspace. And again, it's all mental. It has nothing to do with food or my body. It was all mental. But I had been in that headspace for so long that I thought they were the crazy ones, that they didn't understand, right? I was so all consumed by the number game. And that's what I mean when I say, you know, I had this like weird relationship with food as a different form of an eating disorder. Is if you have a disordered relationship with food, you do have an eating disorder. It just doesn't look the same as someone who doesn't eat, or someone that purges, or someone that loses a ton of weight. And unfortunately, those are actually the women I do work with, is the women that are saying, okay, I've tried to limit my food. I've tried to count calories. I've tried to work out every day, but my body's not changing. And so people think I'm not trying hard enough. And we could go into a deep rabbit hole of why that is, but that's exactly where I was. You know, the first time I tried to eat less, yeah, sure, I lost a lot of weight, but then I gained it all back. And so it created this binge restriction cycle of I would restrict so hard and punish myself so hard, and then end up binge eating and doing all the things I wasn't supposed to do. I call it the fuck it mentality, where you just kind of give up. You want to do all the fun things, and then the next day you regret it, right? We talked about Sunday scaries earlier. And that's kind of the same concept, is the next day you feel all this anxiety from the lack of control that then you restrict again. And you're on this constant cycle that doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah. And when you got to the point where you were working out twice a day and counting mm-hmm. macros and all that calories, and you got in a certain shape, whatever, call it whatever you want, but did you feel good about yourself then, or did you not even see that you were in good shape?
I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable. Because in order to be in that body, I was hungry all the time. I was angry and frustrated and always thought I needed to continue to work harder and to be smaller. I was so burnt out. I wasn't making like solid friendships. I was in a really toxic relationship. And I liked what you said earlier. It's about your light, right? And others will constantly try to either dim it or enhance it. But when you're in this space where you're actually dimming your light yourself, right? And so then you're starting to accept things into your life that don't match who you are, right? So I was accepting relationships. I was accepting friendships that kept me small, that kept me in that negative space. I was miserable. I was never actually happy. I laugh because I look back on photos and I can specifically remember it. It was my freshman year of college and I had bought a dress for a winter formal and I was so excited about it. I'd spent probably way too much money on it. I had a boyfriend that was taking me. Like, I had all of the things that people would think, oh, she's doing great, right? And I remember I stopped eating carbs for, I'm talking like 6 months. And I was so proud of myself because I lost, you know, 15 pounds, something along those lines. And I was getting all the compliments, all of the affirmation that I looked great. But I was so angry and so frustrated that, like, why is it that I'm being celebrated now that I'm in a smaller body that I can't sustain, that I'm worried so much about now what I look like in photos. I'm worried about if I have a drink at this party, what it's going to do to me. I'm worried about if I pose wrong or if my boyfriend touches my stomach, right? It's the constant mental game. That's not worth it. And it's not sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the relationship you were in at the time, did your boyfriend feel insecure when you were getting smaller and focused on that all the time?
Yep. He was, now granted, I will preface, he was a great person, had a great heart, and was always encouraging me to not worry so much about my body. But yes, when I was losing weight or when I was getting attention from other men, that became a very pivotal point of our relationship that caused the toxicity from his own insecurities, right? Any other comment I was receiving that I was kind of getting like a high from, even if it was like a very short dopamine burst, he was getting envy from, right? So it became this relationship where I got kind of hidden away. I didn't go to parties. I didn't really make friends in my sorority. I only spent my time with him. If I was at the gym and heaven forbid a guy came up and asked me something, it was the constant onslaught of how do you know him? Why does he think it's okay to talk to you? It's the constant battle there as well. You kind of fall into these relationships with other people who are struggling, right? Because that's your common bond. Not realizing that that's not a healthy relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And you know, the thing is that it's one thing for a person to look good, but it's another thing to have this aura, this energy about them where they're confident, which we talked about earlier. And I think that's so much more attractive, is that confidence. I think it takes away from a person if they look good and they're not feeling good.
Absolutely.
You know,
because you can tell when someone has done all of the things to make them acceptable into society, right? And everyone's envious of them. And it takes 2 seconds to talk to someone and realize that it's all a facade.
Yeah.
It's taken them a lot of effort to look that way and to act that part. Versus like what I now teach my clients to do is being authentic, right? I am well aware. I will never be a petite female. I'm not built for it. That's just not who I am. Right? So why would I constantly be trying my hardest to become someone or something that I just genetically am not made to be, when I could be leaning into my strengths of who I actually am, what I could become, right? And it's so much of flipping that mindset of, rather than living in scarcity, living in abundance of like, what do you already have? And what can you create to be even stronger or just more developed in that space.
Yeah. And by the way, for clarification, we're not talking about you shouldn't work out. We're not talking about you shouldn't not eat shitty foods. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about obsession with things that don't matter as much.
Yes.
Speaking of your strengths, what, through the self-assessment that you've gone through mm-hmm. and continue to go through, what do you feel that are some of your strengths that you're now leaning into?
I could say a few different things. So I look at, and I love what you just said, I look at wellness as mind, body, soul, right? If you're physically healthy, but your mental and emotional states are complete chaos, you are not a well-being person, right? They've got to balance each other. So I think some of the strengths that I lean into now, you know, I think mentally, I have a really strong connection with my family, with my faith. I know that there's something bigger than me. And that is something that personally holds me accountable. Physically, I leaned into the fact that I like to lift heavy shit. I love it. It's what makes me feel powerful. And I was so scared of it for so long that I don't even know why, right? Where it's now something that brings me joy. It makes movement easy for me, and there's different movements for different people. And I think, you know, just talent wise, I have always had a knack for connection. I empathize. I can understand people. I can articulate how they're feeling and help them move through it. And that was something that I thought was just normal about most people. And I realized as I grew up and as I leaned into this, that's not a common trait that everyone has, right? So why am I not leaning into it? Why am I not using it to, yes, better my own life, but also help other people better their own, right? And I do want to touch on what you just said of like, we're not talking about don't eat like healthy things, right? I just wrote a post on this. The anti-diet space is not a space where we're saying go eat pizza and ice cream and all the fun things every single day and have no repercussions, right? It's a space that's saying restriction and punishment will also not give you what you're looking for, right? We're giving you the choice, the balance of saying everything is on the table, whatever you choose that you need, right? It might be fulfilling something physical like nourishment, but it also might be fulfilling something, you know, within your heart, within your soul. It might be connection, right? And different things have different abilities. So yeah, did I eat ice cream last night? Absolutely. Did I beat myself up for it? No. But do I have it every single day? No, unless I really want it, right? But I take away the like fascination and it takes away the craving for it. But that's a whole other conversation.
What kind of ice cream was it?
Oh, it was chocolate chip cookie dough.
Okay, there we go. There we go. All right.
A classic.
Was it in a bowl or like did you do it like a cone, waffle cone? Like how'd you do it?
So there is actually an ice cream brand, hashtag they can sponsor me if they would like to. There's an ice cream brand at Target. I think it's called Hillamook. I'd have to look in my freezer. It is the best ice cream I've ever had. It's phenomenal. It's basically like going to an ice cream shop and getting a good scoop right out of your freezer. So nope, I had it in a bowl last night, had a little chocolate sauce on it. But what's cool about the freedom that I teach people and what you and I were even talking about, once you do know like your worth, you have this confidence in yourself because it comes from knowledge, right? And you actually taught me this. We talked about this on one of our first calls. You said the only difference is you might just not know the answer. And the coolest part of that is you can go and learn the answer. And then you continue to move forward, right? So it takes away the fear. It takes away like the uneasiness because you realize like I have the capability of gaining that knowledge, right? And I apply that so much within my own coaching of, you know, with food, for instance. Once you know you can have something, I can have it every single day if I really wanted to. It takes away that like obsession. It takes away the fascination from it, right? And then I can add in the knowledge of, okay, if I eat ice cream every single day, probably not going to hit the goals that I have. It's probably not going to make me feel very good. I'm also a little lactose intolerant. Probably shouldn't be doing that, right? But it takes away the obsession, which actually gets you to the goal faster.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So then once you started developing this mindset and this approach, what was the dating scene like now? Like since then and currently, like what did you notice different? Like, obviously there's gotta be a difference, right? Because you're happier.
There's definitely a difference. There's a whole deep dive that we could do into this that my taste in men is probably a little toxic, like most women's. But I would say that what I accepted out of a relationship looked completely different, right? What I always say, keep your expectations low and keep your standards high, right? Because I can't expect someone to show up in a relationship if I'm not showing up, right? But I have standards of what I'm willing to accept, of how I'm treated, of the life that I want, the kind of romantic partner that I want. I would say, you know, dating wise, it shifted into one, having to kind of relearn what I accept as I was learning to accept myself, right? But I also, and I talk about this actually a lot with some of my clients, is the dating pool becomes a lot smaller. When you start to learn to accept yourself and to lean into your confidence, that's very intimidating for people who have not done the work, right? It automatically kicks a lot of people out of the pool of fish who have not done the work as well.
Yeah.
And that can be very difficult. You know, I'm 30, I'm single, I'm not even close to getting married anytime soon. I'm not fearful of that. I don't have any, insecurities of whether I should change that piece of myself, because I know I've done the work. And that means that whoever I do end up with, I know will have also done the work. It's going to make our relationship a lot stronger, a lot more valuable, right? It's not going to be the toxic games that I accepted in the past, because I was accepting lesser than myself, right? I was coming out of, again, the scarcity mentality of, this is the only person that will ever love me. I have to stay in it. I have to deal with it. Versus the abundance, saying, how many millions of people are on our earth? There's got to be someone that can match my energy.
I just want to
meet them within the societal timeline.
Of course. Okay. Yeah. And so we're going to go down this rabbit hole, because I know the listener's wondering, like, what does she mean by toxic? Like, let's talk about that. Like, what do you mean by that?
I mean, like, I think a lot of people, men and women, are not taught how to communicate effectively, not even how to communicate their own needs, let alone how to show up for the other person's needs. Right. So it's a lot of, let me see how much attention I can get from how many other sources. I think a lot of that has to do with dating apps and just the way that our world has shifted, is that there's always another option. There's always more. And so we've almost stepped into this space of, well, I'm feeling insecure about myself, so I'm going to jump on a dating app and see how many compliments I can get. Right? In the terms of, how many likes can I get? How many people can I start conversations with? But then none of it's intentional. Right?
Yeah.
None of it feels purposeful. So I guess that's what I mean. There's obviously a lot of toxicity when it comes to, like, abuse and the way people speak to one another. And, the type of relationships that I even hear some of my clients have been through, of how they've had their food restricted by their partner, or they've had their partner put a weight, like a scale, in front of them and make them step on it every morning and have them watch. I mean, some really disgusting, terrible relationships. And again, like you said, it has so much more to do with that partner than it has anything to do with the person. But, when I'm talking about toxicity, I'm thinking more in the sense of someone that's coming from that scarcity mindset of, I need, or I'm going to put up this avoidant front and not communicate, because if I let someone in, they have the opportunity to hurt me. So they just push, right? They want your attention, but only when it's convenient for them and when it's not going to damage how they feel, right? Whereas the space that I'm in is, in order to fully fall in love with someone, whether it's a friendship, a relationship, whatever, right? You have to be vulnerable. You have to be so secure in yourself that you know, yes, I'm letting this person into these deep, dark depths of who I am, and that's giving them the opportunity to hurt me. But that's also giving us the opportunity to establish such a deeper, intimate, intentional relationship. And you can't have one without the other.
Right. Yeah. And so you're still drawn to that toxic person, or?
No, I'm drawn to the physical aspects that usually come with the toxic. But I'm not drawn to the toxic personality traits.
Gotcha.
I think a lot of that, I joke that I grew up in Nebraska. So relatively 30 is like old here, right? You should be married with a couple of kids by now. I look at it as I'm only 30. Your 20s, you learn so much about yourself and who you are and what you want and what personalities match with yours, that I think a lot of that process, I kind of put on the back burner as I was moving through the process of my own self-worth and food and body image. And so I kind of put a pause on dating for quite a few years. I've dated on and off, but I put pause on dating of like that being the intentional focus, because I recognized within myself that that was always my coping mechanism. If I could just get someone to like me, right, to give me attention, it was that dopamine hit again, right? I didn't have to work on my issues if someone else liked me, right? And so I intentionally put pause on that in order to heal what was going on within myself. So I'd say now, you know, being 30, I'm moving in a couple of weeks, I look at it more as like I'm in a beautifully solid space to know what I want and what I will accept and what I deserve. Now, yes, I do think you have to be physically attracted to someone, but I don't think, I think there's a lot more to do with someone's characteristics and their value and who they are as a human and how they impact others. That, like you said, like it's their light. It's what draws you to someone, right? I just haven't met that yet.
Well, I want this to get out of your head. Okay. First of all, if you have a guy that you're physically attracted to, that doesn't mean they're going to come with toxic traits. That's a
I completely agree with that. I think that just tends to be the commonality, but that doesn't mean that's every case scenario, right?
But that could be a perception that you have. Yeah. That's totally wrong.
Yep.
Right. So contemplate on that, listener too. Contemplate on that. Like, like we don't get different results until we start shifting up, shifting our belief system and our and our quote unquote laws that we've created that maybe not even be true. See, in this world, anything is possible. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, when we do set those laws or those rules, mm-hmm. it shuts off our attention mm-hmm. to anything else outside of those bounds. So we need to make sure that we're not self-sabotaging ourselves with our belief systems. And then we need to open up. Like, one of the things that I've been really focused on lately is accepting abundance in any form that it's willing and God's willing to give it to me in. Mm. Like I shouldn't be setting the parameters to be given things. Mm. Right. So I think about that a lot. Like, listen, I want to go a certain way, but I'm open to however it gets here. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's one. Now, as we wrap up the show, the time has flown here, but as we wrap up the show, let's talk about the move that you're getting ready to make.
Yeah.
And why you think that's important and what you're looking forward to most with that move from your hometown into a new environment.
Yeah. So to give a little bit of backstory, I moved back to my hometown in Nebraska in the middle of the pandemic. I had moved away. Pandemic brought me back. And, you know, I love being near family. But, you know, through this journey as an entrepreneur and even just as a single woman in her 30s, right? I was craving adventure. I was craving more connection. I was craving people and experiences that were in the same space as me. And actually, I had talked to you. I had talked to a couple other mentors about, you know, why am I limiting myself? When I talk to my clients and I'm opening up, like you said, breaking down the walls of their limiting beliefs, why am I limiting myself physically where I am, right? And so in a couple of weeks, I'm moving to Dallas, which I'm so excited for. I love Texas. And I just love the energy that's in that space. Every person that I've met there has an idea or has a goal, has a mission. And it's just this like intangible energy when you step into a space like that of knowing, okay, now I'm surrounded by people that are also going after something that they want, a life that's bigger than what they thought they could have, right? And I think that is so valuable, no matter who you are, if you're able to move or not. It goes back to like the age old saying of you are the combination of the five people that you spend the most time with, right? And if those five people are not challenging you, inspiring you, lifting you into a space that allows you to grow and evolve, you're going to stay stuck, right? You're going to feel disconnected. So for me, it was a big conversation of honestly, like alignment and being ready for this next phase, like phase of growth. I'm super excited. I haven't told a lot of people and now it's on a podcast. So it's happening.
That's cool. No. And I'm excited for you. I can't wait to watch this journey. Just don't become a Dallas Cowboys fan. Do we have an agreement?
I'm going to not admit out loud. I grew up with an older brother that was a big Dallas Cowboys fan. I'm more of a college football kind of girl. So I won't say there's not like an NFL team that I am like sold on. I'd probably go Chiefs over Dallas Cowboys. So we can at least agree there.
I was thinking that you could become an Eagles fan. Absolutely. And then live in Dallas. Absolutely. How exciting not. That would be. Like that would be the awesomest. See, I went down there, I don't know, a few months ago, and I went to their practice facility and I'm amazed by what Jerry's done there, except they can't build a winning team anymore. But at the end of the day, like, it's so cool to be the opposite when you're in that town. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna encourage you, like, maybe just start watching the Eagles on Instagram, like, look at the stuff that they're doing. And
I'm not trying to get bullied, so I'm gonna stay away from the Eagles. Thank you for that. Those wise words of advice. I think being from Nebraska is enough of a talking point for most people.
Yeah.
Because most people have never been here. So
yeah.
That's going to be my unique characteristic. You can keep the Eagles.
Okay. All right. I'll accept that. That's one thing I'll accept. So Coach Allie, where do you want to send people? I already gave them your stuff, but like, where do you want to direct them?
Yeah. Come hang out on Instagram. Honestly, I'm on there every single day having conversations. Very similar to you, that I just want to hear what's going on in your life. I want to hold space. I want to hear, like, if this impacted you in any way, let's talk about it. Right. Because I think the biggest part of coaching isn't actually the coaching itself. It's the human connection, right? It's sharing your story with someone that might need to hear it. Come hang out on Instagram, DM me. Let's start a conversation. Let's hang out.
All right. Coach Allie, thank you for being here. Hang tight while I wrap this up. I appreciate you so much. And I'm rooting for you, and I'll be watching. And let's kick some ass, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, guys. You've been listening to the What Are You Made Of show live from That One Studio. It's your boy C-Rock signing off with Coach Allie. Until next time, be that one.
Music licensing reimagined.